Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, broadcasting live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. As we do every Monday at 10:30, we say hello to Jonathan Hutton from Outkick, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow, weekdays 2 to 5 on 94.9 The Fan. Hut, what's going on? How are you?
Chaser, how are you, man? Hope the Monday's treating you well.
I'm feeling good because football is here. Took in the Vanderbilt game Saturday night. It was just nice to see some live football again. Then obviously we've got Tennessee in town taking on Virginia in Nissan Stadium this week. So it feels pretty good here in Tennessee to see some football.
Not bad. Not bad.
Let's start with the Titans as they now go through the tough part. For any team, and that is going from 90 to 53. You know, there's some talented guys that are going to be cut and may land with other teams, but it's a numbers game, and it looks like this team is going to keep three quarterbacks, and so that's obviously going to take a spot from somebody. But with the quarterback, Mike Vrabel not willing to name a backup to this point, do you think he really needs to, or could he take this week to week by keeping both Malik Willis and Will Levis behind Ryan Tannehill?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, they're screwed either way, Chase, if they get to the backup quarterback for a long-term issue or plan, because neither quarterback is ready to go. Willis has improved, but there are still big concerns that remain with his overall game. And then the fact that Levis has missed some time now, but even prior to that, was not ahead of Malik Willis, that's also a concern of mine. If we're just point blanket there, they're keeping three. And that's based on the improvement of Malik Willis. We should start with the fact that he has improved. He's shown the most improvement, I think, in his ability to bounce back from negative plays. But those negative plays, when those happen, are awful. I mean, the two picks in the final preseason game, awful. But we can see the strides that he's made. But at times, he doesn't trust what he sees. He reverts back to the player who's still in development mode. And that's fine for a developmental player, but backup quarterback in general across the league is really bad. But if Tannehill goes down, the Titans are in a world of hurt because Willis still needs to improve his decision making in the pocket, reading the second level defense, and you know, with his skill set, they would tailor a game plan to fit what he would bring to the offense instead of the wide open playbook that they have right now with Tannehill. And you mentioned the two quarterbacks and, you know, not announcing the backup. I mean, it would be, to me, going into a game right now, you'd have your emergency quarterback designation and then you'd have the backup. So every week we would know who's active.
Sure.
The emergency quarterback would not count against the active roster of 48 on game day. He could only play if the other two are hurt. But, I mean, if Tannehill's down, hypothetically here, this sounds crazy, but we could see games where you play both guys. Because there are games when Malik Willis is in there where they don't want to throw the football. And Will Levis, while he didn't wow us whenever he was playing, when we saw him briefly, at least he didn't make the huge mistake. And I think there are qualities to both areas there. But, man, I mean, going back to just the good of Malik Willis, the throw, the touchdown throw, the agility, mobility out of the pocket, keeping his eyes downfield, throwing that pass to Spears, Chestnut, well done. I mean, that is the type of play that you draft him for where they drafted him. And, you know, that's the type of play that Will Levis will also be needing to make whenever he's given the chance.
You know, I'm curious of your thoughts on this too, Jonathan. As Trey Lance gets traded to Dallas for a fourth round pick, which is a head scratcher for Dallas in some ways, and in some ways it's Jerry Jones, so I'm not surprised. But if Levis were healthy and he was able to go through the full preseason, and we continue to see the improvement from Malik Willis, do you think there could have been a trade market for Willis? Maybe not a fourth round pick. Obviously, I don't think you're getting the third round pick you spent on him back, but do you think there could have been some sort of trade market for him?
Potentially, but I honestly, the way that teams passed on Willis in the draft and where he fell, I don't get the sense that there's a massive trade value a year later. Meanwhile, you know, with Trey Lance, while you have Shanahan and the 49ers who gave up three first round picks and made that haul, and it's a huge error and mistake and a massive bust. There were other, certainly other teams that were drafting him in the first round, maybe not at three, but other teams certainly high on him. So I see where the trade, I mean, the guy that went number three overall got a fourth round value. And in what we've seen last year, and a guy that was replaced by Joshua Dobbs, Dobbs receives a fifth in return plus a seventh to head to Arizona package with him. I don't know what type of value would have been out there for Willis, given the fact that if Levis is healthy and playing well and is the backup, Chase, teams probably know if they want him, they just wait till the cutdown date as the Titans try to get him back on the practice squad. At least that would be my idea. That would be my approach, because if you're throwing in the towel on Trey Lance and the Titans have already done that with Willis, which they haven't yet, yeah, you're waiting until the cutdown date, and you're probably also viewing him as a practice squad player the same way the team would be in this hypothetical question.
Jonathan Hutton is with us from Outkick, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow, 2 to 5 weekdays on 94.9 The Fan. Mike Vrabel said that he continues to see some inconsistencies out of the offensive line and that they still have work to do. There's going to be some players available, but do you think that there's – going to be anybody out there that's going to be an upgrade to what they currently have on this O-line with the Saints game being less than 2 weeks away?
Man, I don't – it's tough to say, because, you know, it is my biggest concern with this football team that the offensive line sets the tone for the offensive identity of the Titans. It is Derrick Henry in the run game. It is the power game. It's the extra yard when you need it, the push. The Titans are the five new starters as they head to New Orleans. Questions across the board at every single spot, but first and foremost, it's the assessment that are the backups and the swing players that they brought in ready to be consistent starters. That's the same assessment you would be making for guys that hit the waiver wire right now, and not, but you would be doing it as, okay, we're comfortable, because you're not finding starters on cut down day. Those guys are not going to be made available, because offensive line play across the league, depth is bad across the league. So you're finding depth and swing talent at best, fringe roster players at best, who more than likely is your seventh or eighth offensive lineman on your roster and is inactive on game day. And those guys to me are pretty much all the same. You know, a second string guy can be a third string guy, can then move back up to second string guy. I don't know, unless you're trying to make a trade, you're not finding that guy on the open market. And in my opinion, I'm not trading that guy either this close to the season. If you've got depth on the offensive line, you're one of only a handful of teams, if that. And you're not trading away that luxury this early into the season, given the fact that at that position, injuries can happen even if you're trying to keep guys healthy. Guys get rolled up on, you know, you get pushed over the top of a pile, what have you. I'm viewing this more as, how do the Titans just stay adequate and just be okay up front? Of course, health plays a factor. But beyond that, Chase, how do they, if they can just be adequate, they can start scheming protections game by game and matchup to matchup. And that's huge. And if you have multiple holes and leaks and issues and inconsistencies and penalties like they did a year ago, you're handcuffed on what you can and can't do up front to protect your quarterback and to run the football. And that's the Titans lost their identity over the final 8 weeks of the season last year. And they're trying to get it back with guys who are coming. Al Shire's a great example on defense. He's a rotational backup, special teamer, looking for an opportunity that now looks the part as a starter. Is Andre Dillard and Daniel Brunskill ready to be that version on the offensive line? That is the huge question with this team. And I think we feel pretty good about the guys that they brought in on defense to do that. The questions remain on offense, and it starts up front.
You mentioned Al Shire, and I'll throw Arden Key in this too. I really like what I've seen out of both of them, but
yeah,
you can make the argument that they're kind of like Delanie Walker, that they you know, you knew a little about them, but Arden Key more so, but they weren't starters. And then they come, you know, we all saw what happened with Delanie Walker. He became one of the best players in Titans history. That's what I kind of feel like they could be potentially getting out of both those guys.
But the difference is, if it at the time, and I'm right on board with you here, Al Shire and Arden Key are brought in, but keep in mind who they also have. They have Jeffrey Simmons. They have Harold Landry. They have Denico Autry. So it's not as massive of a blow to the defense if one or two of those guys are just the same guy, like they've leveled out. If Andre Dillard is not starting quality, the Titans are going to suck up front on the offensive line. If Daniel Brunskill is just a rotational swing talent, and that's fine, he's a sixth man on an offensive line, that's fine if you have five others ahead of him. But if he's not, and you're putting him in next to, you know, the new starter at center because Ben Jones isn't there, next to at Hubbard at right tackle for at least 6 weeks until your second-year player gets back from a suspension, and then you're also starting a rookie who, I honestly, up front, Skoronski's the player I have the least amount of concern about. He's the guy I'm not worried about one-on-one. The rest, again, it is a wait and see, because this is where you trade for Hopkins. Burks is healthy. You've got Tannehill back, Henry. All that's fine. But the offensive line is really where this team wins or loses because of three and outs, penalties that set them back into second and third down and pass, and guys that are good, not great. Can they just elevate a bit and be consistent at that week to week to where you're not always cringing every time they snap the football and want to play action? They didn't run a lot of play action last year, and part of that's Downing because he didn't do it on 11 personnel that he ran primarily in Oakland when he was the play caller there. I think they want to get back to what they do very well, and that's run the football and then use that to work Tannehill off play action, work the middle of the field. If they can get the consistent offensive line play, Chase, if the guys step up the same way we're comparing them to the defensive effort, they'll be okay. But this is a team that's set up. They need to be good on offense and great on defense. And they can be great on defense. Can they be good on offense? You're not good scoring 16, 17 points a game.
Real quick, they got to figure kicker out. And this has been the carousel that they have been on for a long time. Now, I'm paying attention to what happens in New England, what happens in New Orleans. I know the Chargers have had a battle too. But I feel like maybe one of the four from New England and New Orleans could end up kicking for the Titans. What do you think about that?
I mean,
you're talking about Blake Group, who's a rookie out of Notre Dame, Will Lutz, who's, I think, fine, Chad Ryland, Nick Folk.
Chase, bring anyone in you want to, and hopefully they start making kicks. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, here we go. We can only hope and pray that the fourth option this offseason is the one that sticks. They cut all three guys for good reason. They weren't good.
Right.
And the Titans are playing in low scoring games. The defense is average, you know, before the bottom dropped out, and I'll keep it brief, Chase. Before the bottom dropped out last year, they're giving up 19 points a game or whatever it was. Excellent. But they're scoring 16 or 17. The Titans only made 7 field goals from 40 or more yards last season. The league average made was 13 from 40 plus per team. And that's a trust issue too. We're going to roll out the kicker to try this or not. They only attempted 24 total kicks. That's the lowest in the league. The league average was like 34. So 33 or 34. So they just need a kicker that they're at least willing to give it a boot with, a try. And they haven't had that last year, and they don't have one this year to even attempt that. That's a make or a miss. You can get away with it in Kansas City. 3 points is massive for a win or a loss for the Tennessee Titans and how they're built.
100%. And I have no idea if they're going to figure it out or not. So that's the scary part. Hey, always.
Is this 2019 or is this the year they find? You know, they need to find out somewhere out there. There is a Brett Kern situation at kicker. They need Brett Kern was punting fine. Had he lost something? Maybe, but he was fine, consistent. But the younger, bigger, stronger leg beat him out. They need to find that version of Brett Kern at kicker and get him to Nashville on Wednesday at 4 o'clock.
He
clears waivers.
100% agree. And people are texting in saying, you know, because Mason Crosby put some videos out. He was kicking at Brentwood High. He lives here. If that's where they end up going for this year, I don't have any problem with Mason Crosby, but he's 38. You know, I if they could find one of these guys that, you know, is a little younger that they could hang on to for a couple of years, that would be my preference because
I heard
I'm tired of this.
In Shelbyville or Tullahoma this weekend, someone hit like a 48-yarder. So go sign that junior up.
There you go. That might be the answer. Hey, appreciate it as always, my friend, and we'll be listening today at 2 o'clock.
Thank you so much, Jace. Always enjoy this. Have a great week.
You too. Jonathan Hutton, OutKick. Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow, weekdays 2 to 5, 94.9 The Fan. Check them out. Coming up next, I got to give my Cowboys thoughts. Trey Lance, what are they doing? We'll do that next. Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.